It's Kevin McCullough on AM 970, The Answer.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Kevin McCullough, and here we go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Obliterating confusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
What's the story, the real story on the jobs created under President Donald Trump? Did you know that he's created nearly 18 million jobs? But the left does not want to give him credit for that. Stephen Moore is here. And also, an exclusive from John Solomon, a blockbuster on Hunter Biden, Burisma, and Joe Biden. Stay with us.
Binge thinking.
Kevin McCullough.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog
has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
And he is playing a role.
As well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Okay, off and running on a brand new week. I've got a lot of stuff to cover on today's show because we're gonna talk about a number of different things. We've got an exclusive with John Solomon from Just the News coming up. Did you know that the State Department has now verified that Burisma had nefarious illegal activity going on while Hunter Biden was on the board and while Joe Biden was in charge of the Ukraine policy? How that all shakes out. We will delve into with John Solomon, but it has been confirmed, and that's a big story, and we're on it today. We've also got Dr. Gina, and then we're going to check in with David Fisher to see how the markets are going. Speaking of markets, I've been getting into fights regularly with friends now on social media about exactly what the jobs numbers are with this president and what's happening. And I thought, you know what? Why do I have to fight this battle when I've got Stephen Moore who can just come on and explain it all to me? Stephen, of course, is the author of Trumponomics. He is also a senior economic contributor for The Wall Street Journal. He has a very good piece, by the way, pinned to the top of his Twitter feed that compares Obama's stimulus programs and why they weren't great for the American people, and kind of advises us not to go down that same road again that he co-authored with Art Laffer. But that's on his tweet at Stephen Moore on Twitter. Stephen, it's good to have you. Thanks for being back.
Hey, Kevin. Great to be with you.
So here's the thing that has happened on a few occasions in the last couple of weeks. I saw the new jobs numbers. What was that? A week ago last Friday that came out.
Yep.
1.4 million. That, I believe, overtook the month before it as the third best record month of all time in national history of the economy. And for 4 months in a row, close to 11 million jobs have been created. Now, going into pandemic, I believe Trump had gotten credit for nearly 7 million jobs, 6.7 million or 6.8 million, something like that. And when you put all those together, he's somewhere around in the 17 million jobs created category. Now, people were coming at me, Stephen, saying, well, but the economy lost 30 million jobs. So you can't count all 17 million as jobs that were actually created under this administration. What's the truth, Stephen Moore?
Well, I don't, you know, people are going to count the numbers any way they want to, but let me just give you a few factoids to add to what you just said, Kevin. First of all, you know, I'm proud to have worked for Trump during the campaign and in 2016 as the senior economic advisor with Larry Kudlow.
Right.
And we helped put together that tax plan and the deregulation and the pro-American energy policies. And
which, if we didn't have any of that now, oh my goodness, would this be a different story?
Thank you. So by the end of 2019, beginning of this year, we had the best economy in 30 years. I mean, it's just a fact. We had the lowest unemployment rate, not just for everyone, but for blacks and Hispanics and Asians and women and disabled people, whatever group you want to talk about. We had 6 million surplus jobs. Thank God, by the way, right? Because then, bam, we get hit with this terrible pandemic. And we did lose, you know, depending on how you count them, somewhere between 20 and 30 million jobs. But one thing nobody thought was going to happen, even me, Kevin, you know me for a long time. I'm very much an optimist. But
yes.
Even I didn't think we'd get 10.5 million jobs back in 4 months. I mean, that's a spectacular record of rebound. And it's not just Donald Trump. It's the incredible resilience of our American industry and our entrepreneurs and the businessmen and women who make, our economy function. They they come back roaring like a lion. And the big question now, can we keep it going? Can we keep this going and bring back another 5 or 10 million so we get back to normal? It's going to be tough, you know, because there are a lot of industries that are hobbled, like the airline industry and a lot of the retail industry and a lot of the travel and the transportation industry has been hit hard. But I'm very impressed. I think Americans should be very proud of the way we've come back.
Well, and so this is going to be coming into greater focus as we get, 50 days from now, everyone's going to go vote. And if you vote early, vote, properly, of course.
Mm-hmm.
but to date, and I'm just curious, what do we actually know about what Joe Biden is offering as opposed to this robust growth that is creating jobs in the millions per month from the president? What is the other side offering? What is their actual plan for economic recovery that they've presented so far?
Well, I have read through his 95-page report on the economy. It is, in my opinion, look, I'm a little biased because I'm a Trump guy, but I think it would be cataclysmic for our economy. I think if you take an economy that's still, just trying to still pick itself up from the getting whammed by this virus and the shutdowns, and then you put in place, Kevin, the biggest tax increase in American history, the biggest new regulatory assault, a Green New Deal that will destroy our oil, gas, and coal industry by design, and then reversing some of Trump's trade deals that have been, very good for, manufacturing things here. I believe it would do severe damage to the economy. I think we'd be looking at, potentially Great Depression style unemployment rates if that happened, because you can't tax. Kevin, has it ever happened before in history where a country taxed its way back to prosperity?
No.
I've never seen it.
But
seen it.
What I'm hearing clearly from you, Stephen, is that it's a return to the heavy regulation and much higher tax environment that Obama kind of created. But add to that,
by the way, can I just
the Green New Deal and some more stuff.
Let me just interrupt you for 1 second, because you just hit a button with me. There is now this historical revision going on by the Obama and Biden people. Say, oh, my God, what a great economy we had under, Obama, and Biden was steering the ship and he got us out of this crisis. Wait a minute. Wait. Ladies and gentlemen, we had the weakest recovery from a recession since the end of World War II. By Biden's own numbers, the economy would have done better if we'd done nothing rather than spend $800 billion. Remember the shovel-ready project?
Yep.
Remember when he said summer of recovery in 2009 and 2010? And people say, what recovery is he talking about? If that economy had been as strong as they seem to fantasize that it was, then Hillary Clinton would be president today. But people voted for change and for Trump and putting America first because they did not see income gains. I mean, here's one for you, Kevin. For Black Americans saw a bigger gain in income in 3 years under Trump than under 8 years under Obama.
Yeah, well, that's what the facts show. And that this brings me full circle to where I started. So these friends of mine, we have these discussions and I say, but look, 11 million jobs created in the last 4 months. And I said, that's more than Obama Biden did in an 8-year recovery. You're trying to tell me that he doesn't there's no credit given for the atmosphere.
What do they say?
They say, well, what about all the jobs that haven't yet come back? I said, give him four more months.
Look, I mean, I think that's the thing to say. Trump's strongest argument, and the reason I think that Donald Trump is going to win this election, two reasons. One is nobody's reporting on the massive reduction in the caseloads and the hospitalizations from coronavirus.
Correct.
This is very good news over the last 3 weeks. But then you put on top of that an improving economy, and people are going to say, hey, the ship is headed in the right direction. Trump is really getting us out of this. And I do think he's going to win because we're going to see continued good numbers on the economy. It's not going to be easy. We did a lot of damage. OK, Kevin, we did a lot of damage to our businesses, and some of those businesses will never come back and some of those jobs will never come back. So it's going to be tough. But we want to make sure that somebody who is in charge is not a guy who's been in politics for 50 years, but a guy who's been in business for 50 years.
Well, and most importantly, we want to make sure that the atmosphere with which those entrepreneurs are trying to rebuild their lives present as few obstacles as possible to their actual success. So regulation, heavy involvement, heavy intervention in government with the growth of business is not going to be what is going to help us get there. And he said in his last few rallies that, you know, he thinks he can create 10 million more jobs. I think he easily could, not just in the next term, but maybe in the next year or so, because you have such an open environment. Stephen, when we unleash this economy, it always rewards us. Yeah.
Well, 10 million jobs in 10 months, which Trump is promising. People are saying, oh, that's an outlandish promise. Wait a minute. We created 10 million
jobs. Instead of 11 million in 4 months. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so 10.5 million in 4 months. So, you know, maybe 10 million in 10 months is quite possible. But now, if Biden's people were on, they'd say, oh, well, he's only raising taxes on the top, you know, 2 or 3 or 4%. And then I looked at the statistics. You know, Kevin, what those people do in the top 2 or 3%?
They paid 90% of the taxes.
Yeah. And also, how'd they do that? Because those are the people who create the jobs. They're the small businessmen and women who are the backbone of our economy. How are small businesses going to create more jobs if Biden is taking more money out of their businesses?
Well, I just appreciate the fact that you've helped me clear up these arguments firmly with my friends. Anyway, Steve Moore, always good to talk to you. Thanks for being with us.
Okay, thanks, Kevin.
Kevin McCullough, we've got a big show yet for you. We've got a lot to get to. Breaking news from John Solomon. We've got insight from Dr. Gina Loudon and a buster market today. It's coming back big time. David Fisher's with us, and my thoughts before we're done.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
We have some heavy volume heading uptown on Manhattan's West Side Highway from the 70s right up to the George Washington Bridge, on the FDR northbound we're slow from the 30s up to the Triborough, and again from the 150s to the GWB, southbound we're slow from the 90s into the 50s. In the Bronx, westbound Cross Bronx slow from the Bruckner to the George Washington Bridge, eastbound heavy off the bridge right out towards the Sheridan. The Deegan northbound slow between the Triborough Bridge and the Cross Bronx Expressway. And troubles on the McCombs Dam Bridge, all lanes are closed in both directions from Manhattan into the Bronx. That is because of some sort of bridge malfunction. In Brooklyn and Queens, we're looking at some big delays on the Gowanus BQE on the eastbound side from the Prospect all the way up to the Brooklyn Bridge. More delays from just before the Manhattan Bridge, right up towards the LIE. Westbound delays from Queens Boulevard all the way down onto the Gowanus. And the LIE is jammed eastbound from the BQE out to the Cross Island Parkway. Grand Central heavy into LaGuardia, traveling east, and again LIE to the Kew Gardens Interchange. And now you know how not to go. I'm Mike Barker, AM 970, The Answer.
George Floyd's death sparked national outrage and propelled the country to confront issues of race and justice head on. But between partisan politics and various types of protests that have dominated the news ever since, the real questions remain. Are we tackling the issue of race in America honestly? Are we correct to believe the narrative that one's skin color should play a larger role than the content of one's character? These types of questions are here to stay, and they demand fair and truthful responses for a better future together. To hear a lively discussion about these and other important national issues, join syndicated media host Larry Elder and the author and political commentator Candace Owens for an exclusive live stream called Unbiased, Unvarnished Truth Behind Race in America. Tune in September 17th at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, for an important discussion to move us toward a united future during this pivotal time in our nation. Get your tickets today for Unbiased when you visit unbiasedlive.com. That's unbiasedlive.com.
Listen to AM 970, The Answer, on Alexa, tune in, iHeart, or radio.com.
Napa Know How.
Get all the quality parts you need at your locally owned Napa. Because right now, when you order from Napa online, you can pick up curbside at your local store in just 30 minutes. Or get your order delivered direct to your door with free one-day shipping on over 160,000 quality parts when you spend $35 or more. Quality parts delivered quickly and safely. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating stores, standard ground shipping and exclusions apply.
Larry Elder, the sage from South Central, tonight at 7 on AM 970, The Answer. Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right. Well, as I was previewing for you just a little bit ago, John Solomon from Just the News makes his return to Kevin McCullough Radio. And John, every time you come and join us, you always have some sort of inside scoop on something. And your latest one is making buzz around the world because now the State Department has confirmed the details. Bring us up to speed.
Yeah, this is very important. If you go back to the impeachment scandal earlier this year, the Democratic storyline was, all right, yeah, Hunter Biden was on the board of a corrupt Ukrainian company, but there was no reason to investigate it because nothing untoward happened on Hunter Biden's watch. Well, that story no longer holds up. Why? The State Department has released documents to me under the Freedom of Information Act showing that in January of 2015, top officials in the Kiev embassy, the U.S. embassy in Kiev, Ukraine, had concluded that Burisma Holdings, that's the natural gas company that put Hunter Biden on its board, had engaged in a bribe, had given a $7 million bribe to a prosecutor in Ukraine that was investigating the company for corruption so that he would close the case. This was reported to the FBI by the State Department. It was confirmed to the State Department by one of the prosecutors who they interviewed. So there's very little doubt that the U.S. government believed it happened. And then it's summarized in one of the memos that I obtained under the Freedom of Information Act. So for the first time, we now know that on Hunter Biden's watch, as a board member of Burisma Holdings, a Ukraine gas company, some illegal or improper conduct happened inside the committee. Doesn't mean that Hunter Biden was engaged in it, but it does mean he had a fiduciary responsibility to watch out for these things. So that story is percolating today. You can go to justthenews.com. You can actually read the documents that I obtained from the State Department.
Yeah, and you've got it linked on Twitter, I see, as well. If people are over there, just go to J. Solomon Reports is John's Twitter handle. But, John, let me, because, you know, we're 50 days out from the election or in that neighborhood, right, at least. And I know that people are there's so many dots to connect on some of these things. How significant is the idea that the potential president's son was looking the other way on bribery of a foreign entity's energy company? What's the significance of this to, let's say, the factory workers in Ohio?
Yeah, well, it's what you have now is a pattern. Just in the last few weeks, let's think of what we've learned. Everywhere Joe Biden went to run U.S. policy, whether it was China, Ukraine, elsewhere, one of his family members, usually Hunter Biden, was in the vapor trails of that jet trying to cash in. So you have the perception of a conflict of interest. And under the federal law, federal officials must not only avoid a conflict of interest, they must avoid a perception of a conflict of interest. We now know from the documents that I got from the State Department that State Department officials repeatedly believed and repeatedly warned that Hunter Biden's activities in Ukraine were creating the appearance of a conflict of interest for his father, meaning his father should have recused himself from Ukraine policy once his son had a financial interest in it. So it is a great judgment question for Vice President Joe Biden.
Sure.
Why didn't you step aside? The law said you should step aside. The State Department thought you should step aside. Why did you stay in and continue to run Ukraine policy while your son was it? Same question in China. Just last week, I broke the story that while Joe Biden was overseeing U.S.-China policy for President Obama,
right,
there was a deal in which Hunter Biden transferred a Michigan company, a quintessential automaking industry company near Detroit. He transferred it into the hands of a Chinese company called AVIC, which had been sanctioned 5 times by the U.S. government for bad behavior and is today listed as a direct subsidiary of the People's Liberation Army, the Chinese military. So once again, Hunter Biden gets rich, U.S. national security in that case is compromised and potentially by transferring this very important company to a Chinese military contractor. So the pattern is repetitive. And I think as people look out over the election, these are the sort of stories they need to evaluate.
Well, of course they do, because these are troubled spots that we need very clear, not only action in, but we need to have people that are free of those conflicts to make the best decisions possible. But I want to drill down on something that I thought I heard you say in the Ukraine issue, particularly. It is actually a violation of law that the former vice president did not recuse himself from overseeing the Ukraine policy, is what you're implying.
That's right. We know from George Kent, he was the guy with the bow tie, the
yep.
State Department official wore the bow tie during the impeachment proceedings, that he himself perceived that there was a conflict of interest for Joe Biden. He even tried
to. And he's an Obama guy. This was Obama people that felt this
yeah.
way.
This was on Team Obama's watch. George Kent went so as far as to alert and try to talk to the vice president, and the vice president's office wasn't interested in hearing his concerns. George Kent canceled a contract that had been consummated between Burisma and the State Department because he believed Burisma was corrupt and shouldn't have that level of thing. George Kent is the same guy in these documents now that saw Burisma pay a bribe to a Ukrainian prosecutor, and he refers it to the FBI. You've got Obama, Biden, Clinton players in the State Department repeatedly snitching out on the very company the vice president's son is working on. That's a conflict of interest under the statutes. And under the statutes, as many ethics people have said, the vice president had an obligation to recuse himself and step aside from Ukraine policy as long as his son was making money on his watch.
Okay, $10 million question, John Solomon. What's the likelihood that the mainstream media covers this story with even half the depth and detail as you've presented it even here on this radio show today?
I think they'll ignore it today. I think that's been a pattern we've seen time and again. But I think next week, next Monday, put this date on your calendar.
Okay.
September 21st, Monday, Senators Ron Johnson and Senators Chuck Grassley are on track to release an explosive investigative report on all they have found on Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, and Ukraine.
Huh.
It is going to have some bombshell revelations, including the fact that the Treasury Department and the State Department both had concerns about what was going on with Hunter Biden, and report some of the very serious ethical questions surrounding the Biden
family. Well, we'll take a look and we'll follow this story. John Solomon, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure.
All right, Kevin McCullough, go read him at jsolomonreports on Twitter and, of course, justthenews.com. Kevin McCullough, coming right back. Hi, Kevin McCullough. If you're feeling run down and don't have the energy that you used to, it's probably because you're not eating enough fruits and vegetables. Now more than ever, it's time to try Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in capsule form. Remember, the best defense against any virus is your own immune system. Balance of Nature is not like ordinary vitamins that are made with synthetics. It's just natural food in a vegetarian capsule with tens of thousands of vital nutrients from 100% whole food plants, fruits, and vegetables. If you forget to take your dose one day, just double up the next day. It's simply fruits and vegetables. A daily dose of Balance of Nature capsules has 10 servings of 31 different fruits and veggies. Balance of Nature is now offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order of fruits and veggies. So start your journey to a stronger immune system and overall better health today by calling 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or by going to balanceofnature.com. And make sure you use the discount code. The answer. Hi, Kevin McCullough. If you're anything like me, when you get that craving, you know what I'm talking about. For good Italian food, you want to eat the best of the best. And there's no place better than Michael's of Brooklyn. Located on Avenue R and Nostrand, Michael's of Brooklyn is a true neighborhood staple. Family owned and operated by Fred and his brother John. They've been in business since 1964. So stop in and experience an unforgettable meal at one of the five best Italian restaurants in all of America, according to Food Network. They have set up a beautiful outdoor area to keep you safe and healthy while you eat and enjoy that delicious Michael's of Brooklyn food. It's truly homemade. And in case you were wondering, they have the only nationally sold pasta sauce cooked and packed at the source. You'll love the authentic Italian flavors of their baked penne alla vodka, stuffed artichokes, and sausage contadina. Head to Michael's and experience their authentic legacy of Italian tradition. Call 718-998-7851 and make your reservation. I guarantee they'll have you coming back for more. 718-998-7851. That's 718-998-7851.
Take AM 970 The Answer anywhere you go with our mobile app. Get in on iTunes, Google Play, or listen on TuneIn, iHeart, Alexa, or radio.com. News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
We have sunshine, a few clouds, 74 degrees on this Monday afternoon. What's going on? We have the answer. Well, there are now 55 positive coronavirus cases within the New York City school staff, and that's out of nearly 17,000 tests. Mayor de Blasio stresses positives are well under 0.5%, and most test results are coming back within a few days. Meanwhile, a COVID response situation room has been formed to deal quickly with school-related positive test results. The mayor also announced 2,000 additional teachers that came from subs, temporary staff, and redeployed central staff to help with the combo of remote and in-person learning. Teachers reported to work last week, and the mayor says in-person learning is still on schedule to start next Monday, despite concerns over coronavirus testing and PPE from the teachers' union. There was a rally today at City Hall to support struggling restaurant owners. Organizers are calling on city and state officials to give restaurant owners more tools to help make up for huge revenue losses due to COVID-19. They say outdoor dining is just not generating enough revenue, and when indoor dining restarts on September 30th, the 25% capacity won't get many restaurants above water. Owners have filed a lawsuit trying to get the capacity limit increased, arguing restaurants in the rest of the state are able to do it at 50% capacity. Taking a look at the traffic, in Brooklyn, we have troubles on the Belt Parkway westbound. It's an accident right by Bay 8th Street. On the Prospect Expressway, this will be on the westbound side, right by 4th Avenue. That is an accident being cleared as well. 5 to 10 minutes outbound of both the Lincoln Tunnel and the Holland Tunnel. Inbound both tunnels, you're fine. In New Jersey, 208 northbound still closed on the Fairlawn-Glen Rock border, right by Maple Avenue, because of concrete falling from the Maple Avenue overpass. Avoid that stretch of 208. Clear skies, breezy tonight, low 55. Sunshine tomorrow, high 67. Sunshine for Wednesday, high 75. Partly sunny Thursday, high 78. Then sunshine for Friday. And now you know what's going on. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
Did you listen to our podcasts? Hear them now on our website at am970theanswer.com. Confusion, amplifying truth, and pursuing clarity. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, as promised, Dr. Gina Loudon joins us. She is, of course, the senior anchor and president of programming for America's Voice News. You can follow her on Twitter at RealDrGina and check out her revamped website, drginaloudon.com. Great content on there. You get to see a lot of the highlights of stuff she's been involved in and maybe missed live. She's got them all there for you, and you can see them. Dr. Gina, always a pleasure to have you back. I love to pick.
Always a pleasure.
I love to pick your brain about human behavior stuff because that's where your studies and strengths are all in, and you understand people in very significantly clear ways, which I think is important. But I think I have this theory that, and this is after watching some college football over the weekend, and I don't know about anybody else, but seeing like completely empty stadiums is one of the stupidest things I've ever seen on TV. And then you cut to the colleges that have like the 25% allowed capacity. And so they're like, there's some students in the stands and they actually have like a home crowd that's cheering for like one of the teams. I'm like, wow, that's significantly different than the completely empty stadium that the other game had. But in going to brunch with my family on Sunday and observing some of these things, I'm getting the feeling, even talking to my wife and I went to yoga this morning together. First time we've been able to do that since the kids were back in school for a day. And I was talking to our yoga instructor this morning, and everybody that I am talking to, everybody that I run into, even in liberal New York and New Jersey, are saying, we've got to get out of this thing. We've got to come back. We are so tired of not being allowed to live life. And I think, Dr. Gina, my theory is, and tell me if I'm right or wrong on this, that the American will is going to overcome it, not just lockdown, but the riots, the negative controls of behavior, the mask shaming, you can't open your businesses, all of this stuff. I think the American will is eventually going to overpower that because we want to live. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think you are. And I'll tell you what I think was the pinnacle for this, Kevin. Psychologically, I think we got to the anniversary, the 19th anniversary of 9/11. And I think we realized, holy cow, they took that crisis and they imposed such massive controls on our liberties. And we all thought we weren't going to be going through the TSA with 2 ounce bottles of hairspray decades later. And here we are. We all thought we weren't going to be patted down by people and the TSA decades later. And here we are. And how many lives has it saved? Zero. And what percentage of success do they have in precluding bombs from getting through their checks there at those TSA points? I believe something like 97%. Of dangerous things get through. So what do we have to show for it? Nothing. All it took was one president who was willing to work about 20 hours a day to get rid of terror cells around the world. That's what changed America, not the TSA, not the impositions on our liberty. We are not willing to do it again, Kevin. We are not willing to give up our liberties while they capitalize on a crisis again. And I think all of us woke up to that fact when we looked at what happened to us on 9/11 all those years ago.
You know, that's a great observation. And since it did dovetail right into the weekend, I hadn't even thought of that. But, you know, the and I forget who it is. One of the public officials in Los Angeles let it slip late last week that the lockdowns only have to stay in place until November 4th. And considering that we've got a lot of family and friends that are in California and what they are suffering with right now in terms of the oppressive nature of the state sanctioned controls of everything that's happened out there, you really do. It does make you think. And then this other kind of out of the blue thing hit me. I'm watching these college football games and I'm thinking to myself, you know, there's a couple of huge conferences, not the smaller conferences, but a couple of the premier college conferences that the whole conference shut down its season for the fall. And all of those scholarship athletes and all of the money that that program brings in terms of revenue to those universities. And they're sitting on the side. They're not sitting on the sidelines, Gina. They're sitting in their dorm rooms watching all of the other teams that they could have gone to play for getting to play. And they're not playing. And I was saying to myself, I bet by the time this weekend's over, they may reconsider. I mean, they're going to be, you know, 0-2 on their schedules or whatever, because you can't get back weeks that you didn't play. But you just can't do this to people. You can't take away their lives.
And I'm so glad you brought up the California wildfires, because that's another big lie to control people. If you look at where the wildfires end, I have a map on my Twitter right now that James Woods posted at the very top of my feed, Real Dr. Gina. If you look at the map of the fires, it goes right up to the Canadian border. Funny thing, climate change only affects all of northwestern America right up to the Canadian border and doesn't bother to go into Canada. Funny thing about climate change, it has nothing, I'm sure, to do with the way the forests have been handled and the way the fresh water by the millions of gallons every single day has been dumped in for decades now because of poor governance in the state of California. And by the way, corrupt governance that my husband was exposing when Governor Brown wrote two bills to drive him out of California, forcing us to leave the state. So this is what control and socialism are all about. And all the reason why I hope every activist is out there engaging in every single way they can, because there's only 50 days left.
Well, Dr. Gina, I think it's coming, because if you saw those competing Michigan rallies last week, and I use rallies very loosely for one of the candidates, because when you had the TV in tight on Joe Biden, you know, it looked like he was talking to a big crowd. And then you saw pictures of it, and there were six people sitting in big circles, you know, about 18 feet apart from each other. And then the president pulled into the hangar there in Michigan and just overwhelmed the place with another one of those. I think there's a big message coming on Election Day, and I think it's going to be sent loud and clear that America is not willing to be pushed aside and rolled and told to sit down and shut up. I don't think we're going to take it anymore. And I pray that my feeling is right on that. Anyway, Dr. Gina, always appreciate your insights. Kevin McCullough coming right back.
When you're stressed, you just don't feel like yourself. New Natrol Relaxia, a full line of drug-free supplements to help you manage occasional stress and anxiety. A special blend of herbals keeps you feeling calm and balanced throughout the day. Because when there's less stress, there's more you. Try new Natrol Relaxia. Learn more at RelaxiaMood.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Your business needs leads and sales. There are potential customers online right now looking for what you do. Will they find you or your competitor? You need Salem Surround. The marketing team here at Salem Surround is ready to help your business now. Contact Salem Surround for a free evaluation of your marketing plan and see how we can help place your advertising message in front of today's consumers. Learn more at SurroundNewYork.com. SurroundNewYork.com. Connecting you with new customers.
Listen to us online at AM970TheAnswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or radio.com.
Dan Proft tries to wrap his head around riots and looting.
You tell me that somebody got the right to tear down property that American taxpayers paid for, and somebody has the right to destroy it, deface it, and tear it down? What kind of people have we become?
What kind of people have we become? That's an operative question going into full-fledged election season, isn't it?
The Dan Proft Show. Weeknights at 9 on AM 970. The Answer.
When does a person get rights? when a person is a person.
All across our nation is divided. In our homes, in social media, everywhere you turn. But what is at the heart of this division? In the new movie, Divided Hearts of America, Super Bowl champion and executive producer Benjamin Watson searches for the truth.
This is one of the worst possible choices that any woman and her family has to make.
You'll discover why the most polarizing debate of this century boils down to the sacred dignity of human life.
There is no personhood under law. We don't have that in this country.
With Divided Hearts of America, you'll learn what you need to be armed to fight what divides us and come to a place of real unity with empathy, healing, and real hope. Be part of the change and watch Divided Hearts of America. Go to salemnow.com to purchase.
Use promo code WNYM for 20% off. That's salemnow.com, promo code WNYM.
Dan Proft, coming up tonight at 9 on AM 970. The Answer.
Everywhere I go, oh, I say is it all, oh, oh, always on my road, I'm still New York.
If it's happening in New York or across the globe, learn why it matters first on Kevin McCullough Radio.
Well, it's Monday, and on Mondays, we always take a pause from the front page of the news section to take a look at what's going on in the financial section of the news that day. And no one helps us stay on track with that better than David Fisher. He is not only my friend, he is the CEO and founder of Landmark Capital. If you're not watching, by the way, the YouTube series, you should do that. Go to YouTube, type in Landmark Capital in the search bar, and you'll get to see all their newest videos and a lot of really great information for free right there on YouTube. And I'm going to tell you about how to get some more of their resources absolutely free as well before we're done. But David, happy Monday to you. Good to have you back. We were on a holiday last Monday. We talked a lot about gold, though, in that holiday edition. Give us an update on the markets, where we are year to date. We're heading towards, you know, you can start to see the end of the finish line for the year. What are we looking like in terms of where we should be?
Well, the Dow is still down year to date, 3.4%. The other indexes are up. The S&P 2.9% up. The NASDAQ, the best of the three indexes in paper, up 20%, although down from last week, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But gold and silver, still the number one leaders. Gold up 27.9%, and silver, the shining star, up 50.2%.
Crazy. 50. They broke 50%. It's been in the high 40s for weeks, but that is truly amazing. David, stocks, you were seeing a little comeback today. Last week, they pulled back a little bit. What's the expectations between now and, say, November 3rd when we all go to vote?
Well, you have to understand there's a big uptick, and there's the Japan's big index called SoftBank, which is a multi-billion dollar conglomerate. They contribute to the frenzy they sold, which pulled the plug out of the water, out of the drain. But on the technical side, when they did this, stocks came down. They hit their 50-day moving average, which is a support level. And they're trying to bounce up from that, and they're doing that slightly today. However, this does not mean we're out of the woods by any means. The technical damage from last week and the sell-off was fairly significant, and stocks are definitely not back in an uptrend, a definitive one at least. So that's the technical side. Fundamentally, we have the Federal Reserve obviously creating the most amount of money ever they've done in history and the cheapest they've ever done, and this benefits the stock market. But stocks are drastically overbought, and there's got to be careful. So we could see some choppy to sideways action between now and elections. The S&P has had two periods like this, and they had major downturns when this happened. I wouldn't expect stocks to break down to a lower level unless we have some significant bad news. Neither would I would expect stocks to significantly rally either unless we have some tremendous news.
Right.
So it's going to be choppy between now and elections.
Well, I know that the NASDAQ, the one that's done well, has been primarily bolstered by the tech stuff. And we've got a series of tech things that are going to be happening over the next few weeks. I think Apple is due to release its plans for the 12 tomorrow. Do we think that those tech stocks will keep that index in that territory until and through the holiday season, or are they going to be impacted by this up and down choppy waters like everybody else?
Well, I think everything is going to be impacted by up and down choppy waters, although they've been somewhat of an island. And if you know, the S&P 500 really should be the S&P 5, Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, and Google. And NASDAQ, their indexes are driven by the tech. So the tech rally is over. You know, this is highly overvalued compared to the dot-com. You know, you would think that we'd wake up and say, hey, the dot-com, it was a highly overvalued market. This market, by definition, is more overvalued than the dot-com.
Wow.
I
did not realize that. So this bubble is bigger than the dot-com bubble was.
When you factor in the five stocks we're talking about, yes.
Wow. That's crazy. Okay. What's the main driving force then? Well, maybe we've already answered this question. If they're printing money and gold and silver are outperforming everything, that means that every ounce of gold and silver that's owned is just worth more and more and more dollars the more dollars they pump.
You're exactly right, to the tune of $3.3 trillion now is our government deficit, according to the Congressional Budget Office. It just came out. The Fed is printing more money than any other time in history at the fastest rate, at the cheapest rate, and the government's spending more money than any other time in history. And China is concerned. Last week they came out, Reuters announced that they're selling treasuries, 25% of their holdings, which is a big chunk of money. And they said the reason why they see a potential default in the United States. So this means we can't manage our bills. And, crashes come and go. Financial problems come. Some people want to say it's not going to happen, but it always will happen, just like a bull market will always happen. We have a bunch of ingredients for a bomb to go off. You know, nitrogen, glycerin, sand, and shell is nothing until you put them all together, and that's dynamite. We have a lot of components that are being put together, and this idea of leverage, that debt doesn't matter, is just insanity. That all we need is something to light the wick, and we will have a financial calamity. That's why it's really important to diversify into gold. That's why billionaires and hedge fund managers and now pensions are going into gold. So that's why gold is rallying, because central banks see a big financial problem coming in the next couple of years.
Riff on that for just a second. You mentioned some of the people that are buying gold, but you mentioned pensions for the first time. That seems like a smart move for people that are in charge of retirement investments.
The Ohio State Pension for Fire Department and Police just announced that they now can, their pensioners, the people who work for those departments, can invest in gold. They are allocated, the first tranche is 5%, and they're going to ramp this up probably to 25% of asset allocation within that pension. So now a person who has a pension in Ohio can invest in gold. So this is, Warren Buffett opened the door to all of this. We talked about this before, and now it's just starting to happen. You're going to see more and more of this. Gold has become so mainstream, more than any other time in history.
Well, friends, here's what I want you to do, and especially if you're a small business owner with a few employees and you'd like to offer some sort of a retirement program for your people that is solid, call David's firm today and say, what are the options that I can look into in terms of how to help my employees help their retirements be bolstered by gold? Because if there's a way to do it, Landmark Capital will be able to tell you how and advise you in that. Call them today, 844-604-2575. That's 844-604-2575. Get the free white paper, 2020 white paper called The Coming Bail-In, and call them today and ask them about what your options are. 844-604-2575. Kevin McCullough, coming right back.
It was my fifth birthday, and my dad was bringing home the cake.
Should have been here a half hour ago.
The cake never made it, and neither did my dad.
911, what's your emergency?
That was the day a drunk driver killed my dad.
Daddy?
Impaired drivers take lives. Think.
Sponsored by the New York State Governor's Traffic Safety Committee
aired in cooperation with the New York State Broadcasters Association.
This is Owen Strand for townhall.com. The California legislature finished its 2020 session by passing Senate Bill 145, which seeks the reduction of penalties for those convicted on charges of pedophilia. The bill's author, Senator Scott Wiener, said the bill corrects past unfair retribution for homosexual sex with a minor. But a fellow Democrat, Loreno Gonzalez, disagreed. Quote, "Any sex is sex. I don't care who it is between or what sex act it is. I cannot, as a mother, understand how sex between a 24-year-old and a 14-year-old could ever be consensual. We should never give up on this idea that children are not, should not be in any way subject to a predator." End quote. The nation needs to be aware of what is happening. This piece of legislation erodes a key legal reality that the country still overwhelmingly supports. Our kids deserve protection. A 14-year-old does not and should not grant consent. I'm Owen Strand.
The Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy, for those considering careers in politics and policy.
Whether class is in school, at home, or a little bit of both, school goes on.
And Staples has everything you need to start the year right.
From lap desks to notebooks, noise-canceling headphones to UV sanitizers.
And all at amazing prices. This week, pocket folders, comp books, and 4-ounce Elmer's glue are just 25 cents each.
Shop in-store or pick up curbside. School on, save on at Staples.
Ends 9/19. In-store only. Limit 6. While supplies last. Curbside available in most stores.
Jay Sekulow, live, is next on AM 970, The Answer. What you need to know, when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, a few notes here to end the show with. One, I hope that you will hold in prayer my producer, Alex Garrett. He had a family loss, a funeral to attend to today, a family member he loved very much. And hopefully he's back with us soon. I'm thinking possibly even tomorrow, but I'm hopeful that our prayers and thoughts will go with him as he mourns his beloved aunt at this time. Also, my thoughts go out to Dak Prescott. I don't know if you saw any of the late game for the NFL last night. It's one of those weird, completely empty stadium situations, which are so stupid. Empty stadiums are so stupid. Can we all agree on that? An empty stadium is stupid. It's just stupid. But that's what we saw in week one. I have a feeling that's going to begin to change soon. But I heard for the first time that Dak Prescott's they had discovered that his brother's death back in April was actually suicide. And friends, it had to be complicated by he was kind of had inner torment from demons of his mother's death. I had never really come to grips with that. But then the COVID lockdown just really had a very negative impact. And Dak is a born again Christian. He's someone who believes in God. He is an ultimate role model for young people. And I'm really touched and impressed by his strength, and wanted to say congratulations to him for his comeback to the gridiron last night. Now, before we're done, there was another story on the other coast. It mirrored some things that we deal with here. Two cops were shot ruthlessly in Compton, California, on Saturday. A punk came up with a gun and at point blank range shot two cops sitting in a squad car and then took off running. Not yet apprehended. Now, the interesting thing about this is that within the next 24 hours, Joe Biden and Donald Trump both came out and made statements about the all-out assassination of police officers in our country. And it was very interesting because the first thing that Joe Biden went to within 24 hours of those officers being assassinated was to blame the gun. Not to blame the person who pulled the trigger, but to blame the gun that was used. He came out attacking assault weapons, semi-automatics, etc., etc. He wants to see these guns banned. The gun that the violator used was a semi-automatic handgun. But Joe Biden didn't condemn the man who pulled the trigger. He blamed the gun, and he wants to see the guns pay. Real Donald Trump said, find the person, put him on trial, and give him the death penalty. Friend, there's only one of those two views that has moral clarity to it. and it's not the one blaming the inanimate object. I'm Kevin McCullough.